You want the upper hand in your fantasy football leagues? Then you've come to the right place. You're listening to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. Now, here's your host, Faraz Siddiqui and Zach Rizzuto.
I've identified 9 teams whose situation at receiver isn't so straightforward for fantasy football, and I'm here to break it all down. Who I'm targeting, who I'm avoiding, let's get to it. Let's start with the Packers. The Packers surprised last year with the Jordan Love breakout, which allowed his receivers to shine, especially Jaden Reed as a rookie. He was right at 2 yards per route run. That's a great sign for a rookie. That's a great indicator of future success. Now, it's worth noting that Christian Watson missed a ton of time last year, and in the 11 games he did appear in, including the playoffs, Jaden Reed's numbers were down across the board. We're talking targets, receptions, receiving yards, touchdowns, fantasy points almost cut in half. So we know that Jaden Reed is a good player, but don't be surprised if he doesn't get the volume you think he'll get if the other Packers wide receivers are healthy. When Reed, Watson, and Romeo Dubs were all running routes together, Watson led with a 27% target share last year, followed by Jaden Reed at 22%. And now we also have to consider Dontavian Wicks, whose 1.94 yards per route run as a rookie was also pretty damn good. And with his relatively limited playing time, he earned a target on 24% of routes, which was the highest of the Packers wide receivers. So his playing time is expected to go up and maybe compete with the top guys here. I'm expecting the target share to be pretty distributed, but let's look at these prices, okay? We have Jaden Reed at wide receiver 34. We have Christian Watson at wide receiver 46. Romeo Dubs at wide receiver 52, and Dontavian Wicks at wide receiver 60. First off, I am completely off of Dubs at his price. I'd rather get Wicks a little later. I think Wicks is a better wide receiver, and he has a good shot at overtaking Dubs this year, and he should be targeted if you find yourself without any Packers wide receiver when you're in his ADP range. This is a good passing offense. But I think Watson's price is a nice shot at the upside that he provides. His hamstring has to be doing better after identifying and working on that issue. But also, when he was on the field last year, he had the highest route participation, the highest target share, the highest weighted opportunity, a ridiculous 68% end zone target share. But the most striking thing to me was his catchable target rate. It was way lower than the other wide receivers, only 56% compared to Dubs' 74%, Reed's 82%, and Wicks' 88%. I'm expecting that to normalize for Watson as well, which should correlate to higher fantasy points. Watson is definitely on my radar at his price, and he might be the best combination of value and upside on the Packers. But if you want to grab an even cheaper receiver who can prove to be a better all-around guy, Wicks would be the guy to wait on. All right, let's move to the Patriots. All the attention is on Jalen Polk right now, but there's another Patriots wide receiver who I'm aiming for in drafts. There's a reason why all the Patriots wide receivers are being drafted outside the top 60 at the position at the moment. This situation is ambiguous as it comes, but there will be a young wide receiver who will be the target leader here and end up being a value. The Patriots offense is projected to be bad, and they're also projected to not run a whole lot of plays. So don't expect a whole lot of scoring here, but there is a wide receiver that I'm scooping up wherever I can, and that's DeMario Douglas. I'm talking in Dynasty, in Redraft. He had a ridiculously underrated rookie season. He was targeted at a higher rate on a per-route basis last year than DJ Moore, Deebo Samuel, Drake London, Christian Kirk, DK Metcalf, and Calvin Ridley. His 75.6 PFF receiving grade was the third highest among rookies last year behind Puka and Rashee Rice, and his 1.8 yards per route run is very respectable for a rookie wide receiver. He's going off the board as the wide receiver 78, so he's basically free. He runs out of the slot and could be Drake May's safety blanket, just like Josh Downs was at North Carolina. And by the way, Drake May just compared the two guys. I'm not opposed to drafting Jalen Polk at his extremely cheap wide receiver 67 price tag as well. He was a second round pick. But I think I prefer taking the shot on the guy who already showed that he can earn targets, be productive, and be efficient in the NFL. All right, moving to the Chargers. There's no Chargers wide receiver currently being drafted inside the top 36. The closest wide receiver there is Ladd McConkey at wide receiver 40. I think it's a very solid price, and I do think there is a world where he is the clear target earner for Justin Herbert. And when you look at the games Josh Palmer has had without Keenan Allen over the last 3 years, he's averaging 12.6 fantasy points per game. You look at games he's had without Mike Williams over the last 3 years, he's averaging 12 fantasy points per game. His yardage output pretty much doubles. So he's kind of like this high-end wide receiver 3 for fantasy when these guys miss time. And these guys aren't on the roster anymore. So you look at his wide receiver 55 price tag, I think he's definitely an option and a value there. Regardless if you like Ladd McConkey more, you might not end up getting McConkey. I think Palmer is solid consolation. And there is a world where his target share is top two on this offense or even first. But I will bet on McConkey to be that guy. Even on a run-first offense, he can be the primary target. He can be the funnel. And if you're the primary target for Justin Herbert and you can separate the way that Ladd can, that can be a very good thing. I don't want to completely discount Quentin Johnson, okay? But it's very possible that he's just not good. The one really good thing I heard from their OC Greg Roman this offseason is that they will be moving him inside some and will be getting the ball to him quick for some of that after-the-catch stuff. That's exactly what you want to hear for Johnston because that's what he does best. That's his skill set. It's not separating at the top of release on the outside against press coverage. Let's get him to do what he does best, and maybe they can salvage something from their former first-round pick. All right, moving to the Bears. Man, Caleb Williams has landed in a serious situation, and for him, it's great, right? He has three stud wide receivers to throw to, not to mention DeAndre Swift out of the backfield, and some really good pass-catching tight ends as well in Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett. Former Seahawks OC Shane Waldron is now the Bears OC. He had JSN as a rookie, and now he has Romo Dunze as a rookie. And some might look at that and say, okay, well, if JSN had a relatively limited role year one, maybe we should expect the same thing for Rome. I don't think that's the case. The first reason is that JSN is a slot receiver. So if you're not in three wide receiver sets, he's off the field most of the time. The guy who I think is going to be off the field as the Bears slot receiver is Keenan Allen, not Romo Dunze. In two wide receiver sets, I'm expecting it to be mainly DJ Moore and Romo Dunze on the field. The second reason that I don't look at it the same way is because Odunze is just a better prospect. He profiles more as that alpha wide receiver. So this is not an apples to apples comparison between him and JSN. The Bears offense is expected to score points. They are expected to run at a decent pace. They are expected to throw the ball more than the league average, especially on early downs. So there's going to be a ton of fantasy points to go around. Let's look at the prices. DJ Moore is the wide receiver 21. Keenan Allen is the wide receiver 33. And Romo Dunze is the wide receiver 38. Now, I love DJ Moore as a player, but I don't think it's worth paying that price because there are too many scenarios where he doesn't pay off at that ADP. Or you should have waited to take one of the other two guys. In the first scenario, the targets are very widely distributed, and then Moore will likely be consistent because of it. And we also have to remember that this is still a rookie quarterback under center. Another scenario is that Romo Dunze can be that alpha coming straight into the league. We saw it with other baller wide receiver prospects. And even with the target competition, I don't think it's too galaxy brain to say that Odunze can potentially lead this team in target share and fantasy points when it's all said and done this year. I do think he competes for that title, even as a rookie wide receiver, because he is that good. I'm okay avoiding this situation or maybe just taking Caleb Williams, but taking Rome at wide receiver 38 seems like my play here as of right now, because A, I won't get dinged too hard if he doesn't pan out, and B, he could just be a solid flex for me, which is fine at that price. Or even C, he becomes the alpha or close to it, and I just got a serious value. All right, let's move to the Titans. When it comes to the Titans, we're putting our faith in the talent of their wide receivers and their new play caller and Brian Callahan coming over from Cincinnati. But we have to be careful because they had Joe Burrow, they had Ja'Marr Chase, they had T. Higgins, and they don't have that here in Tennessee. We have to put our faith in Will Levis and hope that he's going to take that next step forward. The problem here is that the Titans offense is not projected to score a lot of points. They're not projected to run a ton of plays on offense. Also, if you look at the quality of targets directed towards Hopkins last year from Will Levis, it was terrible. 60% of Levis's targets last year towards Hopkins were catchable. So is this an offense we really want to get behind? Maybe not. At least maybe not these receivers. However, let's say Will Levis takes that step forward, right? We could be missing out on some value here because both DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley are being drafted outside the top 30 wide receivers, really at wide receiver 35 and Hopkins at wide receiver 41. What I do like about Ridley is that he doesn't have to play the X receiver role. So more free releases, more motion, more creativity, that's going to be good for him. My only concern with this offense is the targets will likely be somewhat distributed between those two guys. Those targets might not be of the best quality, and the overall offensive environment isn't too attractive. But if I had to choose one, it's Ridley because of the fact he'll be the one in motion. He'll be the one getting more free releases. And we've seen him be very effective in the type of flanker role we haven't seen since his days in Atlanta. All right, let's move on to these Texans receivers. CJ Stroud, he had an amazing rookie year. He's one of the most sought-after quarterbacks in drafts at this point, and for good reason. He has three ballers at wide receiver. He has a great play caller. They're projected to score a good amount. They're a relatively up-tempo offense. What's not to like? If I'm betting on which wide receiver to be the number one, it's Nico Collins. I think the order of the ADPs are justified. Nico, then Diggs, then Tank Dell. Even with the potential distributed target share between the three, I think Nico has a good shot of having his wide receiver 1 weeks and potentially even finishing as a wide receiver one. You know, him being taken off the board as the wide receiver 15 right now, solid. I'm cool with it. He's that good, okay? With or without Tank Dell in the lineup last year, Nico averaged the same number of targets, still averaged low-end wide receiver one numbers either way. I think at this point of all their careers, he's probably the most well-rounded of the group. And I think going into next year, they're going to have to make a decision on like who's going to be the first read. And I think, you know, between the three guys, I know him and Tank, you know, kind of split first read looks last year, but I think it's going to be Nico if they have to choose one of the three to be the guy on most plays. Now, I'm looking at Diggs as the wide receiver 22 off the board. Tank Dell is the wide receiver 26. These ADPs are suggesting that CJ Stroud is just going to make these guys all close to wide receiver twos or better. And that would be quite the feat. While Diggs isn't necessarily the same player he was, let's say, 2 years ago, he's still a damn good wide receiver. And I think he's still a better overall wide receiver than Tank Dell as of right now, as much as I love Tank. So at worst, I think Diggs is the number two here in terms of target share. And I think that's going to mean that either Tank is being overdrafted or that they're just going to be cooking something special in Houston, right? Three top 24 wide receivers rarely happen, but they've happened. And given Tank Dell's big play ability, he can see less targets but be more efficient, and in turn, maybe even average more fantasy points per game than Diggs. Yes, Diggs and Nico there, like they're going to clear a lot of room for Tank Dell to operate on those big plays, but there are just so many opportunities for the ball to go around, right? And don't forget, Tank is also coming back from a fractured fibula. Not holding that against him too much, but we shouldn't forget about that injury, right? Jalen Waddle came back from that. He had a ridiculous year in terms of receptions, but career low in terms of yards per catch, right? Last year, Tony Pollard coming back from that injury as well. So just keep that in mind. Nico and Tank last year basically had identical opportunity and stats when they were on the field together in a limited sample. But I do think Nico is the best wide receiver here. And I do think Diggs will mess with the overall consistency and upside of Tank Dell. With that being said, I can't fade any of these three wide receivers. Bobby Slowick has this offense cooking. CJ Stroud can take another step forward. And all three of these guys are on my draft board and in the order that they're being drafted in. And by the way, I think Dalton Schultz is cooked after the Diggs trade. He'll have his touchdowns here and there, but I don't think he'll be much of an every week fantasy starter this year, assuming these guys stay healthy. All right, let's move on to these Bills receivers. The Bills offense is built around Josh Allen, but without a true wide receiver one, what's going to happen? Once Joe Brady took over last year, Stephon Diggs kept an elite 29% target share the rest of the way through the playoffs. Even though the production wasn't quite there, the opportunity was. Dalton Kincaid was up next with 18%, which would have ranked 8th among tight ends last year. He had a 72% route participation, which would have ranked 9th among tight ends last year. Route participation, fantasy points go hand in hand for tight ends, okay? He finished outside the top 12 tight ends in 4 of the 7 regular season games with Joe Brady calling plays, and started to really come back on towards the end of the season and playoffs. During the weeks with Brady, his combination of 18% target share and 20% air yard share is consistent of tight ends who finish somewhere between the tight end 4 and the tight end 6. So with a little more playing time, still a question there. How many routes will Dawson Knox steal from Kincaid? I do expect Kincaid's playing time to go up a bit. I do expect his target share to move up, maybe above that 20% mark, because if it does, we're looking at a potential top 3 finish from Kincaid. We need the air yard share to go up as well a little bit. Without Diggs there, though, that is very much a possibility, and Kincaid can definitely be the top target earner on this offense as it stands right now. I do not think he should be drafted above guys like Trey McBride and Mark Andrews, but ahead of Kyle Pitts makes sense, right? So his tight end 5 price, I think, is justified. And the fact that he's going around wide receivers like Keenan Allen, Jaden Reed, Calvin Ridley, I think he's a perfectly fine pick there when considering other positions. Now, among the Bills wide receivers to pick up where Stephon Diggs left off, it's between Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman, and Khalil Shakir. Coleman is the first Bills wide receiver going off the board as the wide receiver 46, Samuel as the wide receiver 50, and Shakir as the wide receiver 54. The first thing I think of is this. All these guys can outperform their ADPs, okay? Under Joe Brady in Carolina, Teddy Bridgewater had three wide receivers finish in the top 24. That was Curtis Samuel, Robbie Anderson, and DJ Moore. So there's a good chance of hitting on any of them. Josh Allen is now the quarterback. But keep in mind, one of those top options on the Bills will be Dalton Kincaid, right? But which wide receiver should we target? Brandon Bean already said that he projected Coleman to be their X receiver, and because of that projection, I don't love him in year one. I've had my concerns with Coleman in terms of separation, so he might take some time to adjust to that role in the NFL. I can see him having some good games, but I don't think he'll have a chance to be a consistent option in that role in year one because of the fact that there are other receivers here who can be productive, including Dalton Kincaid, including James Cook. I'm off of his ADP personally. Between Samuel and Shakir, it's close, but I'm betting on Samuel. He's been productive in the league, he's a good receiver who can separate, and he's not beholden to being a slot receiver. He's a flanker. He can play outside, he can get some targets down the field, he can play inside, he can play X at times, and he can even take handoffs. He's the most versatile receiver they have. I think Shakir can be a flanker, but if they thought he can play that role, they wouldn't have paid Samuel all that money to be reunited with this old offensive coordinator, who, by the way, was the OC when he had his best season. Here's the other thing. Whoever the Bills' slot wide receiver is, they might not get a whole lot of playing time. The Bills were in three wide receiver sets only 60% of the time under Joe Brady last year, so I think Samuel ends up being the guy on the field more often with the higher route participation. And don't forget, they also signed Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He can come on the field when they want to stretch the field for some plays and bumping Samuel inside while Shakir is off the field. Shakir had the same target share last year with Joe Brady as Gabe Davis and James Cook, which isn't great, but he did lead the team in yards per route run and was second only to Kincaid in first downs per route run with Joe Brady. So that's pretty good. Now, under Joe Brady, Shakir had the same target share as Gabe Davis and James Cook, which isn't great, but he did lead the team in yards per route run and was second only to Kincaid in first downs per route run. But to me, it comes down to who I think will be on the field more, who I think will be targeted more, and I think Samuel edges Shakir out by a hair. If you're in your draft and Samuel's off the board, Shakir is a perfectly fine consolation prize because I do like him as a player and I think he can excel out of the slot if given opportunity. Can't really beat their wide receiver 50 and wide receiver 54 price tags. If you listen to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, guys, it would mean the world to me if you can just take a second and leave a 5-star review. It helps us out so much. I would really, really, really appreciate it. All right, let's move to the Jaguars' receiving core. They added Calvin Ridley to the roster for one season. He earned 136 targets and is now gone to Tennessee. That's a lot of targets vacated. And what will that target distribution look like now? Brian Thomas Jr. was drafted there. They added Gabe Davis in free agency. They still have Christian Kirk. And don't forget, Evan Ingram led the entire team in targets last year. It wouldn't be on brand if I didn't dismiss Gabe Davis off the bat, so let's go ahead and do that. He's never been a target earner, and he won't be one in Jacksonville. Christian Kirk is being drafted as a wide receiver 30, and Brian Thomas is being drafted as a wide receiver 42. First of all, I think Kirk is being severely underdrafted. He was the wide receiver 27 last year, and that was with Ridley being a target hog. Yes, Brian Thomas Jr. will likely earn some targets as well, but I don't think he'll be getting Calvin Ridley type of target share. Before Ridley got there in 2022, Kirk was a wide receiver 20. He was a solid wide receiver too. And by the way, Zay Jones had 121 targets himself that year. Kirk's role on the slot isn't changing. Especially in PPR leagues, Kirk is someone I will have a lot of this year. I can easily see him and Ingram leading this team once again in target share, which leads to Brian Thomas Jr. If you look at some of the first round rookies being drafted right now, Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver 9, Malik Nabers, wide receiver 18, Xavier Worthy, wide receiver 37, Romo Odunze, wide receiver 38, you have BTJ at wide receiver 42. It's not a bad price. My only issue is you have McConkey at wide receiver 40, who I'd rather have this year, personally. You have Rashee Rice at wide receiver 43, who I'd rather have. Deontay Johnson at wide receiver 4, he might get a million targets this year. I'd rather have him. I can make the case for Christian Watson over him as well, who's going in that range. So because of the wide receivers around him, I probably won't have much of Brian Thomas Jr. in year one, even though the price isn't so bad for a role that we know will be there for him in year one and the talent and upside he currently has. But I'm not sure he's necessarily earning target share over the veteran receivers in Christian Kirk and Evan Engram on his team this year. All right, let's move on to the Chiefs receivers. For me, there are two Kansas City wide receivers that I am all over in drafts, and that's Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice. Hollywood has been very productive in this league. He's put up wide receiver one numbers for stretches at times. Probably would have been a wide receiver one in Baltimore if they just threw the ball more. And now he gets Patrick Mahomes. He has a lot of competition, including Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice, and Xavier Worthy, but I think he will have his role regardless as that intermediate to deep option. A role Mahomes desperately needed after not being able to legitimately test safeties last year. I'm all about his wide receiver 32 price tag right now. Give me Hollywood there pretty easily if he's on the board. I think we're just so used to a distribution of targets on the Chiefs lately that it's scaring us off a little bit. I think Hollywood Brown's going to get a healthy target share, and he has a ton of upside with Patrick Mahomes. Now, even if, let's say, Rashee Rice is suspended for 6 games, I'm clicking draft next to his name every single time and his wide receiver 43 price tag. I think Xavier Worthy being drafted ahead of Rice in fantasy drafts right now is a mistake. I think Worthy is more of a luxury piece for the Chiefs right now and not necessarily someone who will be an integral part of their offense. I think the foundation will be the other three receivers. Remember, once Rashee got a full route participation in week 12, it was smooth sailing after that. He was the wide receiver 7 in points per game from that point forward, 27% target share, and the efficiency was there too. All that as a rookie can't be denied. His PFF grade of 85.1, his 2.39 yards per route run, and 24% targets per route run, that all combined indicative of future wide receiver 1 seasons. Don't fade him because of a potential suspension. He's not getting kicked out of the league, and if he gets less than a 6-game suspension, his price is even more ridiculous. Now, I don't want to say that I'm fading Travis Kelce, but taking him at his price of the tight end 2 off the board, I don't love it. The main reason is because I like some of the other tight ends going right behind him, like Trey McBride and Mark Andrews in drafts at cheaper prices. And I think he has more target competition now. You know, earlier in his career, I probably wouldn't care as much about the competition, but I think Hollywood is legit. I think Rashee is legit. We'll see what Worthy brings to the table. Not that I don't think Mahomes can support all three of these guys at a high level, but I might choose to grab my tight end just a little bit later. That's going to do it for this episode, guys. Appreciate you guys listening to this. If you could just subscribe to the podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you could leave a review, that would mean the world. It really, really helps us out. Thanks, guys. See you next time. Later.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.